the dog. Well, have you ever had one of those moments where you're like, squirrel? You know? Some of you are having that right now even. You know, like when stuff happens, you're like, whoa, what happened over there? You know? And we have those moments where we're concentrated for a second, then something steals our attention for a moment, and we get distracted, right? Well, there's this story, and we've used this story not too long ago, especially when we were in our Simplify series. And it's the story where Jesus shows up at Mary and Martha's home. Does everyone remember that story? So it happens in Luke 10. So if you want to open up your Bibles, you can. Otherwise, it'll be on the screens this morning. But it's just in Luke 10, verse 38 is where we're going to start. It says this: as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Okay, two different people. Mary and Martha, two different things, right? Martha invited them in. Mary sits and does nothing, right? That's the way we've always read this story, okay? Next verse. But Martha was what? Distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Okay. This morning what I want to do is I want to sit on this verse for a minute. Because I think so many times we've looked at this passage of Scripture, and we've looked at it even from the place, and we'll get to this place, but where we look at Mary and go, oh, well, Mary chose the right thing, right? But here's the thing. Have you ever thought about Martha for a minute, okay? Martha was the person that invited them into her home, right? And not just Jesus. I think sometimes we miss that point. And I think we miss that point because we see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and so we think it's just like, one-on-one time that she was having, but it wasn't. The Bible tells us that he and his disciples, right, came to this home of Martha and Mary, and so they also were invited in. So when they invited them in, they didn't just invite Jesus in and say, the rest of you need to stay outside, you know, don't come in. But Jesus, no, everybody came in. And so whenever anybody came in, if you remember, what was one of the customary things that people had to do when they would come in from a long journey? Anybody remember? Wash your feet, okay? So all of a sudden, there's this expectation of all this stuff that has to happen the minute those people step in or through their doorway, right? And so we see the story beginning to unfold where all of a sudden, Martha is the one that is the, you can tell, is the housekeeper. She's the one that's going to make sure all the things happen, right? She's going to make sure that everybody's taken care of, and she's doing all the right things, okay? Now, did you hear what I said? She's doing all the right things. She's doing a lot of good things, right? She's preparing a meal. She's getting everything ready for a group of people. We don't know how many, but if we just assume, hey, it's just the 12 and Jesus, like there's 13 people plus her family. That's a lot. How many this Thanksgiving will have more than 13 at your home? Okay? How many would say that's a lot of work? Okay? How many of you are going to institute foot washing when they walk in the house this time? Right? See, nobody's going to do that, but see, what Martha was doing was right. She was doing all the customary things to make sure everything was taken care of and to make sure all the people were taken care of and they had all that they need. But I love how Luke points this out. And he says this, he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations. Now this word distracted, it's got way more meaning than what it just means to us, right? So the Greek word for it is a word that I'm not going to pronounce, but I can't, that's why. But it means this. It means to draw away from. Okay? So when Mary was distracted, she was drawn away from something that was really good and drawn away from it to something else. But it does the definition or the word meaning just doesn't stop there for a minute. Okay? Now, Kyle, I'm going to use you, so can you just come up here? Actually, I got a better idea. Hold on. Cato, come here. Caden's like, oh no, he called me. Okay? Cato's my buddy. Give Cato a hand. Okay, as he comes here, come here. Okay? So, now, here's the thing. Now, what if Cato was really interested in, let's say, that light right there? Okay? And Cato's really drawn to that light, so you can walk towards that light. But all of a sudden, like, I see something over here that I think is more important, and so I'm like, hey, Cato, come check this out over here. Look at this wooden stand. It's more interesting, right? Okay? And he's like, no, but that one's, like, that light's so much prettier. So go back that way. There we go. But then I basically go, no, you're coming this way, right? So what did I just do? I didn't just draw him away. Come back over here, okay? The light's pretty, right? But we don't like the light. We like the wood, okay? And what? But no, what am I doing to him? Let's go this way. Okay? I'm controlling him, right? But I'm dragging him away. Right? Cato's like, please leave me alone now. Let me go sit down. But here's the thing. So when Cato likes the light the best, okay, he's sitting here looking at the light going, man, that is very bright. I'm not going to be able to see a hockey stick or a puck or anything anymore because he just makes me look into this light. And now I see one here. But he gets drawn away from it because I divert his attention to something else. But then he really wants to go back that way. But in order to get him to go where I want him to go, I got to drag him this way. Right? So give him a hand real quick as he goes to sit. Could you have mine? So listen to this very carefully. When we see this word distracted, when we see Martha was distracted by all the preparations, she knew what was right. She knew what needed to happen. And she was drawn to that. Or she wanted to do what was right, right? But then all the stuff that she had to do drew her away from it, right? And the things that she had to do, the right things she had to do, began to drag her away from all the different things that she knew she needed to be doing. More importantly, dragged her away from the thing that mattered most. See, anybody else in that Jewish culture would have been like, nope, that's what she's supposed to do. But when Jesus walks into the room, there's only one thing that matters. We say, well, that's pretty easy to say. But here's the fact. Martha understood it. Or Mary understood it. And so many times we've looked at it and we've painted the picture and be Mary is good, but Mary left all the things that she knew was the right things to do, and she went and she just sat at Jesus' feet, right? And Jesus continues on, says she came, and she got really upset, Martha did, right? And she goes, Lord, would you tell my lazy sister basically to get up and help me do all this stuff? And how does Jesus reply to her? He said, but Mary's chosen the right thing. She's chosen the one thing that matters. You see, we started this by talking about how distracted we are as people. We're so distracted now that it's really the number one cause of injury or accidents now in our world. Just a couple of statistics I want to give you real quick. Do you know, in 2013, listen to this for a minute, there were over 3,154 people who were what? Killed in motor accidents. Motor crash and motor vehicle crashes involving what? Distracted drivers. But approximately 424,000 people were what? Injured. Now, some of you look at it and go, yeah, it's because of those texters, right? That's what you're saying? Okay, well, let me just give you a couple different things that they categorize as distracted driving and see if you guys do this at all. Texting, okay? We're not going to have a hand survey on this one, okay? If you do it, don't do it, please. Second, using a cell phone or a smartphone in the car. Eating or drinking in the car. Talking to passengers. Okay. Grooming. That's weird. Okay. You ever see anybody shaving as they're driving down the road? I think they mean like putting their makeup on and stuff. Like when I met my wife, she like used to do makeup in the car and be going to 70 miles an hour in a little Miata, like doing that stuff. I just sold her out, but anyways, okay? She doesn't do it anymore. She's more responsible as an adult, okay? Using a navigation system. Wow, things that are supposed to help you become distractions. We know that one for sure, okay? Watching a video, okay? Adjusting the radio, CD player, or MP3 player, or iPod, or whatever you want to play in your car, right? So all these things are the things that distract. These are all the things that contribute to the statistic that we see above. Now, let me take you just a little bit deeper for a minute, and let me take you to the workplace. Salary.com, okay, not the thing, but like money, okay, did a survey not too long ago, and they said this. They discovered that there was the average coworker admitted to wasting 2.09 hours per 8-hour workday. Okay? Now, what gets interesting is that is when you calculate how much time is wasted, and how much it cost the employer. Now listen to this very carefully. because each and every person or that works at roughly spends 2 hours, let's just say 2 hours a day distracted, it costs the employers, it costs employers in general, $759 billion per year. That's a lot of change, right? But that's our generation. That's the way we live. One person said it this way, like, the reason why multitasking exists because we're distracted people. The reason why we're so into making sure we do four things at the same time is because we're incredibly distracted people, okay? Even one guy says, hey, my job is a distraction therapist, okay? And he said this, and you guys, some of you know his name there. But it says, the idea is to improve somebody's day. That's how I've always viewed my job. I'm a distraction therapist. I make people's problems go away just for a little bit, right? How many are, I mean, like, to me, I'm sitting here yesterday, and I'm going, yeah, I'm easily distracted. And there's many times in my life I would look for the distraction therapist. And the distraction therapist might be a TV show that we just turn on because we just don't want to be present. Or it might just be we turn it on because, man, we've just had a long day, and the last thing I want to do is have to use my brain for anything else. Right? And so we numb out, we medicate out on whatever it may be, whatever your choice of medication is, and we find ourselves numb to everything that's going on around us, distracted from what reality really is. You see, the question that I want to ask you today is, how distracted are you? How distracted are you? What are the things that are pulling you or drawing you away and then dragging you around? I think if we were to take just a brief moment, and we were to begin to, I just got distracted because there's smoke right there. Told you. You know how hard it is for me to stay focused as I'm teaching? Because there's so many things that happen in the room at one time. Remember I said I get really distracted? Okay. Like some people will go, hey, you probably didn't notice. I said, yeah, I did. Right? But I'm trying to stay on point. But the fact of this is this. We are. We're drawn away from the things that are important. And then we're dragged around by those things. I think so many times we don't realize that sometimes the right things, the good things, the, hey, this isn't really that bad of things, are the things that literally are the things that are killing us, that are killing our families, that are killing our workplaces. Why? Because we have a hard time just being present. And if we have a hard time being present, then we have a hard time truly grasping, and I want to say it this way, grasping his presence. You see, about 6 o'clock last night, 5 o'clock last night, no, earlier than that, I was watching the Michigan game. So, early in the day. Katie was on the computer going through thousands of pictures that we haven't printed yet. And going, hey, we got 1,000 we need to print. Oh, awesome. I started talking, I'm like, I'm just not settled. And you can tell I'm still not settled completely on what I'm talking about. But I told her, I said, what I was going to talk about, it's not really what I'm talking about, what I need to talk about now. And so I stayed up a little bit later last night, and I began to just really sit in this. And one of the things I said is, during my sabbatical, it, for me, like, being alone and just is really tough, because I get distracted really easy, And one of the hardest things is like, okay, my mind goes to something and I want to go find it right away instead of just being able just to sit and just not let anything else happen, right? And so one of the things that I had to really force myself to do during my sabbatical was to go and do and just be somewhere, right? And so one of the things Katie said to me one time is she's like, honey, if you feel like you're not getting anything out of this, then you just need to go. Tell me what you're going to do. Just go and do it, right? Because I wanted to, the hardest part was wanting to be present in the place where everybody else was. But that's not where I was supposed to be at that time. Okay? Hard part. Okay? Have a almost two-year-old, right? Two-year-old loves me. Okay? Two-year-old always wants to be around me, right? Especially, you know, after she's been around you a long time, then you, like, there's that separation thing, like, no, don't leave me type thing. And so, like, the good thing is, no, I want to be around her and I want to be around Katie. But at that time, that wasn't the thing that I needed to do. The thing that I needed to do in that time was get away and spend time at the feet of Jesus. And I think for some of you, you've looked at even my sabbatical and went, man, it must be nice to be able to be off for a month, right? And yeah, it was awesome. You know? So, but here's the thing I want to tell you. A lot of times, we'll look at somebody that gets that privilege or gets to do that, and we'll make those kind of comments. Must be nice. Yet, we have a lot of those moments in our life that we just don't truly partake in on a weekly basis or a daily basis. Why? Because we're distracted. Well, my wife just told me I needed to paint the trim. Or my wife just told me, or my husband just told me that, hey, I need to do this or that. And so all of a sudden this becomes like, oh, I got to get this done instead of doing this. And so just like Mary, or just like Martha, we run around knowing that those are the right things to do and those are the right things that need to be done. But maybe they're not the right thing for that time. And here's the thing I want to show you from this passage description or scripture. Any other time, what Martha was doing would have been what? Right. Any other time, what she was doing would have been spot on. She was doing the exact thing that she was supposed to do. But in that moment, all the things that were right were wrong. Why? Because there was something more important. There was something more important. And I think for me, one of the hardest things is, on a daily basis, is to prioritize the thing that is most important. And for me, a lot of it is like making sure that time with God, that private time that I have, is prioritized each and every day. You want to know what one of the hardest things has been since I've gotten back? I started back into my regular routine. It's avoiding doing the thing that I know I'm supposed to do and making sure that I do the thing that I should be doing every day. It's really hard not to go back into your old patterns. Paul talked about it this way in Romans 12. He said, do not conform any longer to the what? Patterns of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's saying there's a pattern to this world. There's a pattern to the expectation that each and every person has for each and every other person. And there's a pattern that the world tells us, if you do this, this, and this, then you'll be successful. And if you don't do this, then, well, good luck. And he's saying, if you just go step by step through this, then everything will be just right. The problem is that Paul's challenging that, and he's saying, it all starts with you offering your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And I think we've talked about this before, but a living sacrifice is completely different than any other sacrifice that the people would have offered in the Old Testament. Because a living sacrifice is this picture of someone who is alive, right? Hence the word living, okay? Literally crawling up on the altar and submitting to whatever was coming next. They had a choice. He says, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for that's your spiritual act of worship. And then he says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Okay? The word transform is metamorphos, is the same word we get our word metamorphos from in the Greek. Complete new look, a different picture, right? And he says, then you will be able to test, approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. I told you one of the things that when I went on a sabbatical, one of the things I really struggled with was I hearing God's voice correctly? Because, okay, let's get a little bit more practical here for a minute. Because throughout the last 4.5 years, there's been different things that I've done that many of them seemed really good and really right. And I did those things. But they formed a pattern of which I started to live. And once I got into that pattern, then it began to, become normal, become natural. And the things that were the right things to do kind of began to slip to the side a little bit. Maybe it wasn't spending as much time in prayer and fasting and reading God's word. And sooner or later, that little thing just began to go over here. And when it was convenient, I would do it instead of it being something that was a regular routine of something that I did day in and day out. And what happens once you get down that road a ways, you find yourself further and further away from what's right. And you find yourself going, how did I get here? And so what it came back down to is this. What does it look like for me? What does it look like for you to offer our bodies as living sacrifice? What does it take? What does it look like for you and me to offer our schedules to God? God, what does this look like if I allowed you to begin to shape my day? The conference I went to a couple weeks ago, one of the things that he said is if you're not intentional about your schedule, somebody else will be. One of the things he challenged every person in the crowd with that day was, he said, chaos never leads to a good story. And so he said, you got to do your best to get rid of all this stuff that's cluttering up your story and get it to a place where you're in control. And when I say you're in control, I don't mean like, oh my gosh, God's not, and he, you know, I'm saying like you're at this place where God has control of your story. You're being, God's giving you this call. He's giving you this direction for your life. And now you're living for that instead of allowing all the other things to clutter up the journey. And you can tell I'm struggling with this morning. And I think the reason why I am is because of this. I think the reason why I'm struggling with this so hard this morning is I think the number one thing in our church, in our campus right here, people that call this location home right now, I think we've got a group of people that live pretty distracted. We're distracted by the choices we make. We're distracted by the schedules we keep. And God's asking us to be present. And right now, we're making the list of things that we have to do for the rest of the day. And God's saying, if you come and you bring your whole entire being before me, like what you do for the rest of the day will look completely different, because you're not looking at it going, I've got to get this done. You're looking at it going, God, what do you have for me? What do you have for me today? When I walk into my place of work tomorrow, what does it look like to be present there and live aware of your presence in this room? Because one of the things we know about God is this, one of his characteristics is that he is omnipresent. Do you know what that means? It means he's everywhere all the time. But we also know that there's moments in time where he chooses to manifest his presence, which means it comes in a real and tangible way, and you walk away from that going, I can't explain it other than God was in the place. We've had those moments. Many of us have. Maybe it's the day that you first accepted Christ as your Savior. For some of you, maybe it was an experience one day sitting in a service. Maybe it was one day when you were walking down the road and you started up a conversation with somebody. I don't know what it is for you, but we've had moments in our lives, many of us have, where we can say, God was present in that place. And I know it. And here's the thing. My hope and my prayer for my life, for my family, for you guys, is that we would learn to live aware of his presence. And in order to live aware of his presence, we got to decrease the amount of distraction in our life. If not, get rid of it completely. I'm giving you baby steps, right? So I ask you a question. According to Scripture, then, what's the remedy? You say, well, we could do this. We can start tomorrow by going, I'm doing nothing, and I'm just going to take a blank sheet of paper, and I'm going to, like, begin to write things down. Now, how many know what's coming Thursday? Thanksgiving, right? So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are all preparation days for Thursday, right? And there's this funny video, I don't know if you've seen it, going around, I wish I would have pulled that this morning, going around on YouTube and Facebook right now. And it's this, I think it's a guy that's acting out his mother or his mother-in-law or something like that. And it's the perfect, I mean, like, if I could do a video, it would be the video that I would do. Because the joke in our house is this, is that whenever we have company over, it's like all of a sudden, we've got to put on the perfect face. The counters have to have no crumbs. The floor has to be swiped clean, and everything's got to be put in place and in order, right? And it's all chaotic and crazy until that moment happens. And how many of you know that there's always something that's going to be wrong, right? And so the video is this guy literally going around, and he's just shouting out orders, and he's getting tangled up in the cord and all this stuff. If you want to see a funny video, oh, I thought someone put it up there. Anyways, but it's like this, the funny part was, and this is, Katie's sister, I think, put this up, and she said, wow, this is just like Mom, right? Or did she say it was like you, Mom? And I said, no, that's just like Katie. So she's getting like her mom. The best part, though, this week was this, okay? Here, she'll forgive me for this, but the best part this week was this, and this does matter, so just hold on. Zeke goes, Mom, you're just getting like Grandma. But I don't want you to get like Grandma, because sooner or later, you're going to have to paint your eyebrows on. I'm like, what? It was the funniest comment I think we've ever heard out of his mouth in that moment. But the thing is this, and the reason why I'm using this is this. I just distracted you again. But, listen, there is going to be no shortage of distractions coming your way in the next couple weeks. And so you have a choice. And your choice is either to live aware or be distracted. And here's the thing. When we begin to live aware of what God's doing right in front of us, then we begin to see the people that are right in front of us that he's called us to love. And he's given us everything we need to do that well. Let me just give you something that's written in my journal. It's been in my journal for a while. What if we just began to live aware and love well? Live aware and love well. To me, the thing that gets rid of distraction the best is just you living aware. Paul said it this way. He said, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. This word anxious has that same context as the word distracted. Don't get so carried away. Don't get so distracted. Don't get so drawn away from it that it's dragging you all over the place. But he says, but in every situation, bring your prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Right before this, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He's saying, get yourself in this moment. Get yourself in this time where you're going, okay, I can rejoice about this. Okay? Some of you are like, I need this for Thursday. Okay? It says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will what? Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Next verse. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do what? Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Saying it all starts with surrender. It all comes to a point of you rejecting what the world says is the norm and you getting to a place where you change the way you think. Then, and only then, will we be able to focus and begin to receive all that God has for us. He says, whatever is, just go through that list. Just think about these things. So what's my challenge for you this week? Team, if you want to come. What's my challenge for you? My challenge for you today, for this week, for this season, is to be present. For some of you, okay, if I was sitting next to my wife, she would jab me in the gut right now, okay? For some of you, this would mean you checking your cell phone in on the table and not picking it up when people are around. How many say that'd be a good start? For some of you, it might be you actually showing up to the family gathering. You're saying, but you don't understand. But when you don't show up, you don't give God an opportunity to show up. When you live distracted, you don't give him an opportunity. And can I tell you something? Your distracted living is doing more damage than any driver that steps behind the wheel of a car and gets on this road and drives and texts while he's driving and ends up hitting somebody. You distracted living do 10 times the damage that they've ever thought of doing. And you don't see the carnage that you're leaving all around you. See, one of the biggest challenges last night as I was getting ready to close my laptop and walk upstairs to go to bed, was it just really felt like God pointing that out right there. Your distracted living is doing more damage than any distracted driver. Why? Because you're not aware. But he's called you and I to live aware and to love well. And if you want to see God do some incredible things, then show up. And don't just show up, but show up and be completely there. Last story. You guys can start playing here. When we first got married, one of the things that my family is notorious for is not being completely present all the time. But not all of our family. Mostly the guys in my family. The guys in my family would, and this might be the same in your home, but I didn't realize it till my wife walked into the situation for me, because it's just the thing you do, right? And so we'd all eat, you know, but we would never eat at the table. We would all go different directions and we'd sit different places and we'd eat wherever we decided to eat. And then after we were all done, we'd take our stuff in and we'd throw it in the sink and grandma or the women, right, would do the rest of the cleanup. And the men would go and they'd flip on the Lions game and be depressed every afternoon, right? So depressed that the turkey makes them sleep, right? And so they have to sleep away their pain and misery. But that was the pattern. The women would be checked in, the men would be checked out. And my wife said, "You will not be that guy." "Yes, ma'am." Right? Now, it took me a few Thanksgivings, right, to get that. And sometimes I still have lapses, but most of the time I'm pretty good about being completely there and doing what needs to be done on Thanksgiving and stuff like that. But here's the thing I want to say. For us, it was a real picture of Thanksgiving and just a real picture of what happens in my family. Just the guys aren't present. The guys aren't there. For whatever reason, I'm not going to go into any in-depth psychological study of my family because it would be incredibly entertaining, okay? But here's the thing. I just don't want this Christmas, and I don't want this Thanksgiving just to be another Thanksgiving and another Christmas that just go by and we just survive. What if we begin to take this season and this time that we have and say, "God, I'm committing to you today to be completely there. The whole time, just be completely there. And allow you to do whatever you want to do in that space." Because if you show up and you show up with the right person, guess what's going to happen? Change is going to happen. So this week, how does it start for you? What does Thursday look like? More importantly, what does Monday look like? Right? Because everybody's like, "Monday, you know? We have to do this again." Yep, every week. But you have a choice Just as Paul said, to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, how do we do that? We think about the things that are worth thinking about. One of the biggest things we're thinking about is the reason why these things are up here right now. Paul said, do this in remembrance, or Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And when Paul began to talk about it, the word for in remembrance is so that you will not forget. So think about this. So you won't forget, so you won't be distracted from the real thing, from the real story. And so if there's anything more important to think about during this season is what Christ did for you and I on the cross. He had to be born, and he had to be born in the way he was, so that he could ultimately pay the ultimate price 33 years later for my life and for your life. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to take communion. And we're not, if you're the only thing, that, in order for you to do this, the only thing we ask is that you have a right relationship with Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Practice open communion. You don't have to be a member. You just have to be a part of the body of Christ. And so today, as we do this, today it's going to be your time. The team's going to sing a song, and you can find somebody else you want to, maybe some people that are in your small group, maybe a friend, a loved one, or whatever, and just remember together, right? And then also during that time, why don't you make it a time to say, okay, what are we committing to remembering this Thanksgiving? What are we committed to remembering this Christmas so that we don't forget, but also so that it's not the same old, right? Because I think, here's the thing. God's wanting us to live alive. He wants us to live aware so that we can ultimately love well. So this morning, can we pray? And as the team plays, I'm going to ask that you just come, grab a cup, grab the bread, and whenever you feel like taking the elements, you can do that. And then if you, like I said, if you can stay around just for a little bit afterwards, we're going to just set up things really quick. And like I said before, many hands make light work, so hopefully you can just stick around for a few minutes. But before we do that, can we just take a time just to reflect and go, God, what are you asking of me today? And I hope that this message made sense. Can we pray? So Father, today, we choose not to be distracted. There's so many things in our life that want us to look to the right or to the left. There's so many things that are good things, right things that, God, we do. And God, even though they're good and right, God, they're not always the thing to do in that time. So God, may we be aware of your presence. May we be aware of your leading in every aspect of our life. May our eyes be open to see all that you have around us. God, may we show up. May we be present. I think for our generation, it's one of the hardest things to do. For the men in this room, God, I pray a boldness to be different. I pray that the men in this room would begin to lead as they're called to lead. They would set the pace. They would set the expectations in their family and in their home. They wouldn't just go sit in the corner and wait for things to happen any longer. They would want all that you want for their families. So today, God, would you keep our eyes focused in on you? Would you push away all the distractions so that we can know you and know you intimately? And in this moment that we have just here in this place, may you speak the words. You speak them so clear. So clear directly to our hearts. That we leave this place completely different than we walked in. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can come and grab the elements.